Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 13th of March. I'm Paul White, and I am enjoying this journey through Zechariah 11, particularly as we've slowed down, taken a broader look at the 12th verse, and are digging into some of the truths that are contained in this passage. Let's read the verse. I'm not going to review. We've done a smattering of this within its context. We've dealt with it in different ways. You can go back and hear those over the past few days. There's enough to be said that's new, or at least that needs brought up again. We haven't said in a while than to go over the old. Zechariah 11:12. Then I said to them, "If it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain." So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. God now making an offer to the leaders of the people that if they want, if it's agreeable to you, give me my wages. If what's agreeable to you? That's the question we ought to ask here in this 12th verse. What is agreeable would speak back to the previous verse, or the previous two verses. Verse 10, I took my staff, beauty, cut it in two that I might break the covenant which I made with the people. Go to 12. If that's agreeable to you, give me my wages. In other words, if you are in agreement that you want me to break the covenant that I have with you, then buy me out. There's no legal recourse for God to get out of the old covenant with Israel short of death. A type of that will happen at Calvary. But God wants to make sure that this is an agreeable transaction. He wants to give them the opportunity to get out of the old covenant, and they are to make a payment, and they get to set the price. And this is an interesting part of this passage. This is not a sum God comes up with. And B, the sum that they come up with is not some arbitrary sum they just pull out of the air. God doesn't want to come up with the sum because he wants to see, first of all, if Israel wants out of the covenant, and second, what it would be, what price they think it would be worth to be out of the covenant. So if they were to pay for it, what is it worth? Well, why do we need to go through this pretense of deciding what it's worth? The reason for that is because nothing exists in the Jewish economy that does not have its roots in Torah somewhere. And so they, or at least in rabbinical tradition, they don't come up with ideas that are not rooted in very deep-held tradition. So for Israel to be offered the opportunity to pay for something, they have a list of things in the Torah that have monetary value. For God to say, how much is it worth to you? He's essentially saying, go comb through the Torah and look at the sums of property and value, and then come back to me and decide which of these values you would choose. So let's do that with them, because the sum, according to verse 12, is 30 pieces of silver. This is a very specific amount that Torah has shown us before. We go back to Exodus chapter 21, a passage that they most certainly would have known. And I want to take you to what on the surface is going to appear to be a very obscure moment. Why would we go from a prophetic, messianic, passion-centric prophecy of Zechariah and jump back into Exodus 21 and the animal control laws of the Torah? Well, I think you'll see pretty soon. Let's start in verse 28 of Exodus 21. If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be acquitted. If the ox tended to thrust with its horns in times past, and has been known to its owner, and he has not kept it confined so that it has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and the owner also shall be put to death. And if there is imposed on him a sum of money, then he shall pay to redeem his life whatever is imposed on him, whether it has gored a son or gored a daughter, according to his judgment it shall be done to him. Let's pause here for a moment, make sure we know what's going on. If a man owns an ox, and you could assume that it is not only an ox, but any animal that he owns that causes damage to his neighbor, they are to stone the ox, don't eat its flesh as a sign that it was a murderer, a killer, and the owner is fine. But if he knew that this was a dangerous animal, you could also assume that if he allowed this to happen and he had knowledge that it was going to happen or that it could happen, then not only do they kill the ox and not eat it, but they stone the owner to death. And if the parents of whomever has died want to, they can impose a monetary penalty, whatever they impose. Verse 31, according to their judgment, it shall be done to him. There's literally no limit. So, in other words, if you're going to have your child stolen from you by death by negligence, then you can set any price that you want as the price of redemption, which would redeem the killer. You know, in other words, there's a price to be paid, and the killer is paying it. And there is no limit to it because you deem your son or your daughter to have limitless monetary value. Would you agree? I mean, think about that. What price do you have on your children's head? So think about your son or your daughter right now. And if someone were to come to you and say, how much would you take for them? You might jokingly from time to time act like there's a price you would take because they're bugging you or they're bothering you. But you know the reality is there's literally no sum of money that you would receive by which you would lose them from the face of the earth. And that's the point, because they're valuable to you. They mean something to you. But look at verse 32, Exodus 21, 32. If the ox gores a male or female servant, then he shall give to the master 30 pieces of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. There's this quick little verse at the end of the monetary assignment that shows you that if the ox kills a piece of your property, you could even say destroys a piece of your property because that's what a servant was considered. That piece of property is not completely valueless. It has a monetary value of 30 pieces of silver. You can't just name any sum you want. There is a specified value to a servant, to a slave. So think about it this way. The price of a human that you love is whatever price you say it is. The price of a wounded slave is 30 pieces of silver. So in Zechariah 11 and 12, when God says, if you agree for me to break my covenant with the people, then pay me to do it. And they weigh out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. This sum is the same price Torah declares as the price of a wounded slave. They could have responded with, there is no dollar amount that would cause us to break this. But instead they choose a wounded slave. You could say that what the shepherds of Israel, what the leaders of Israel have declared is that they view Jesus as little better than a wounded piece of property, but they do not view him as a son of Israel. And remember, Jesus comes declaring himself to be the Son of Man, the Son of and the Son of God. And by their declaration of naming 30 pieces of silver, they're denying him as son, and that's their greatest crime. We'll start to make the connection with the New Testament You can see where that must go. We'll do that tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.